I'd like to introduce the first speaker, Tom Esch, from the Greensburg Friday Night Fellowship meeting of NA.
My phone is nice. How you guys doing? All right. When I got the phone call to ask to speak up here, I said yes, of course. But the next question I said was, what's the topic? And I found out there was more to be revealed, and I was like, oh, thank God, you know, that's an easy one. Because first time I ever heard them words was in recovery. And I think, like, more be revealed. There's other topics, too, like God can do for you what you can't do for yourself. Things like that have a whole bunch of meanings to me, not just, you know, one set meaning. And as recovery goes on, more meanings come to the words of, like, more will be recovered or more will be revealed. Well, to start out, this past week, I was in a bad way, and then I got the phone call that I was supposed to speak, and then as time got closer, I was feeling a little indifferent about speaking because I didn't feel like I didn't feel real good about myself, and I didn't want to come up here and pretend to you guys that I was actually okay with myself, because I think I would have been hiding something. So I ended up getting that out a couple of days ago. I feel better about myself now, but you know, there's some things I found out about myself that I couldn't see. In the beginning, when recovery started for me, you know, I knew what my problem was at that point. It was the using of drugs, and you know, it was plain to see. And after I got some time under my belt, and the obsession left me and all that, you know, I was feeling okay up till last week, and then these feelings were coming over me, and I couldn't put my finger on it. I don't know if anybody ever had that happen, but I don't you know, it was so strange. I was scared, and I didn't know what I was scared of. You know, I wanted to cry, but I can't say I wanted to use, but I didn't feel right with myself, and something was going on in my head, and I couldn't figure out what it was. So I did what I suggested to do. I lied to my sponsor. No, I did do that, but I set that straight later on that night. But I see him in the parking lot, and I was so scared to tell him I was something screwed up inside me. And I don't know, it just happened like that. So I jumped in my vehicle, and I didn't know what I was doing. So I'm driving down the road, I ended up at a meeting. You know, that happens. That happened to me, thank God. So I'm at the meeting, and there's a bunch of guys there that I value their recovery, and they're friends. You know, they're part of my week. And I told them, you know, I laid it out in the line for the first time in a long time, that I was struggling, you know, and I didn't know what was wrong. They helped me. They helped me. And then I went home. And then I told my sponsor that something was up, you know. We went for a ride and talked about where I am in recovery, the good points, at a point where I could use some work. And I found something out. Well, I knew, but I didn't know it was happening to me. That addiction is more than just the using of drugs, you know. And I guess that's more will be revealed. More will be revealed about me, about my recovery. My addiction took on more forms than just the using of drugs. It manifested itself into, for me, I was so involved in video games, I couldn't get away from the Xbox. And that lasted for a while. Every 3 or 4 days, I was running out and buying another game. And then that got tired. Then I got a computer, and that was another addiction. I played with that thing. I was online talking. I must have had 30 or 40 different people I was talking to, and I couldn't get away from that for the longest time. Then that wore out for me. You know, that I lost interest in that. Then it was back to video games on the computer, and then the latest thing now is burning CDs and I guess you could say a relationship. At least I think I have a relationship. Maybe she don't. So that's where my head's at right now. When I found out I got this topic, right, I figured, oh, good, I got some time. I'm going to be slick about it. I'm going to go to the meetings. I'm going to ask these people what this more will be revealed means to them. So I grabbed a couple guys I thought they knew what the hell they were talking about, right? at least they sound good at meetings, you know. You ever run into people like that. So I pulled them aside and I go, what's this meeting? And they're telling me, I'm like, oh, this is good. I'm going to have to remember that. You know, and then another guy, they tell me something pretty good, and I'm thinking, I'm going to remember that. I'm going to throw that out there, too. Well, thanks to my higher power, I forgot everything they told me. So I'm just going to have to tell you what it means to me from my heart. I'm no professional speaker by no means. I don't have a problem talking in public, so. But like I said, it's not something I do for a living. But when I think of them words, so many different things come to my mind. The first thing that comes to my mind is every time I completed a step, I saw myself in a different light. How I lived my life, I saw things differently. Where I screwed up and where I can improve on. And as recovery goes on, like the steps even take on different meanings to me now. You know what I mean? My powerlessness as of now and my and me trying to control things, which is completely out of my grasp, you know. I just found out that, I'm having control issues that I wasn't even aware of. And that's kind of odd, you know, to have that thrown out in front of you like that. And, it's a strange, strange feeling. But I do know that as long as I keep on the right path, I gotta keep working on my steps. That's where I have trouble lately. Is my motivation hasn't been there like it has in the beginning, and I really did need this. I really did need this retreat, this spiritual retreat. It helped me out. It was something I was looking forward to, and I feel really good inside, like I've been revived. I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but I don't know, I just needed a break from everything, and I'm glad I came up. I see a lot of faces here I haven't seen 2 years ago. I'm glad to see a lot of faces here that I see on a daily basis, you know. You guys are my friends. I consider you my friends, and I love you guys, but when I did ask them, other guys about what they thought about the topic that I was presented with, and I can't claim it, but what they were telling me about is, they said after the fourth step, you get that feeling that the weight was lifted off your shoulder and all that. And I told the fellow, I go, well, I get that feeling after every step, not just the fourth step. I feel a sense of accomplishment, and like I achieved something. I don't know. I feel good. I feel good whenever I do a step. And I don't know. That's just the way I am. When I was up here this week, I was looking back when I started in recovery, and I guess by looking back, it sort of goes along with this topic, because whenever I give my lead, I would say, well, recovery for me really didn't start till I got out of halfway house, and that's not true. Recovery for me started when I stopped using, when I stopped putting a drug in me. And I came to that realization last night when I was, you know, had some time to think. And I was actually working the first three steps. I didn't even know about the first three steps, but I was actually working the first three steps and didn't know it. Because I did surrender. I did turn my will and my life over to care of God. I asked Him for help, and I truly meant it. You know, it wasn't one of these get me the hell out of here prayers either. It was help me, you know, get on with my life. Can't go on like this. And I just want to get my lead, and I'm going to have to change it a little bit. But I do know by working the steps and applying the spiritual principles in my life, more positive things will be revealed. If I don't do them things, more negative things will be revealed. But no matter what I decide to do, something's going to be revealed. You know, so I really don't have a whole lot more to say. Like I said, I'm not a long-winded talker, but I did tell you from my heart, and that's the best I can do. And I'd like to thank you guys for being here for me.
To introduce the second speaker, Jim M. from
I'm an addict, my name's Jim. I got John with that when he pulled in. My home group is Wednesday Night Hazel down in the Pittsburgh area. And there's some people here, I'm glad to see them, that have come to that meeting regularly. And they know when they come into that meeting, it's in an inner city meeting, and when they come into it, I'm usually standing at the door saying, welcome to the ghetto, because that's, you know. And the reason I say that is that especially when I see somebody new, and they got that look in their eyes, that look of fear, and do I want to really trust these people? You know, I remember having that look in my eyes when I came in there, and that feeling inside. And if I could get them just to laugh and let their guard down for a minute, then you know what? Then my mission has been accomplished for that day. I've accomplished something. I've allowed somebody to relax. And if that's the best thing I could do that day, then that's great. And that's more was revealed that I was able to do that. I just had to give that job up. That was my job. I was a greeter at that meeting. And I had that job for about 3 years. And I didn't want to give it up. And then, there was new people that wanted to get involved. And I talked to my sponsor about it. And he said, well, that's not your meeting. He said, you know, that meeting was doing swell before you even thought about getting clean. So I gave up the coffee guy. I gave up the greeter. And now I'm just a member. I sit back and I relax. And I watch and enjoy the meeting. It's truly an honor and a privilege to be allowed to do something like, to be asked, to be even thought of to do something like this. You know, because there was a time when I didn't even know where this place was at. I couldn't get out of the city. I couldn't get away from the methadone program. I was on methadone for a long time. I just couldn't get away from it. It was either from one methadone program to another one. I just couldn't. And I did that for 30 years. I used for 30 years. When I got here at the age of 46, I thought it was all about the chemical. Like Tom said, that's what I thought. I thought it was all about the chemical because for me, it was always about a joke. I didn't know nothing about character defects or behaviors. I just knew that it was a joke that put me in a penitentiary. It was a jolt that got a pistol in my hand. It was a jolt that got me into a detox. I didn't know about anger or jealousy or rage or lust or greed or any of these other things that took me to the point where the chemical was there. I didn't know about that. So when I got here, I felt so bad about myself. All I wanted to do was to stop hurting. I didn't want to stop using. I just wanted to stop feeling so bad about myself. And I remember saying to my first sponsor, how do I do this? I said, I just want to stop feeling so bad. I don't want to stop using. He said, well, you can't do one without the other. To start feeling better about yourself, you have to put the chemical down. You have to leave the chemical alone. And I had the willingness to do that. God had blessed me with that gift that we call desperation around here. That he had blessed me with that gift. And the willingness to do that. And I was willing to do it. And I put it down for 2 weeks and I picked it up again. Put it down for 2 weeks and I picked it up again. I haven't used a chemical since March 5th of 93. I say that because that's just true. That just boggles my mind. You know, it just absolutely boggles my mind that somebody like me could do that. Because, you know, I used to go to meetings all the time with my sponsor, and we'd walk into a meeting, and whoever was chairing the meeting would give me the blue reading, the Who's an Addict reading. And I said, well, why do they keep giving this to me? And he says, they don't want you to forget. You know, they never want you to forget. And I think, you know, looking back, hindsight, that he had something to do with it. He would always go talk to somebody new and hand me the reading, you know, because he just didn't want me to forget. You know, I was a slow learner and a quick forgetter, as they always say. And thank God he did. Thank God he did, because I could forget today. My girlfriend and I were riding up here, and she says, I don't know why they asked you to speak on more will be revealed. She said, you're 60 years old. How much more is going to be revealed to you? You're 60 years old, you know? I was just blessed with the opportunity to speak at our retreat up at Farmington, and I had just celebrated a birthday. When I got up here, I said, you know what, we just celebrated a birthday, and I was 50 years old, and everybody started laughing, and I told them I'm 60. I said, you know what, I said, I remember a time when they were taking odds that I wouldn't make 35. So when I say that God has blessed me, I truly do mean that God has blessed me with this gift of recovery. You know, God gave me a life. God gave me the willingness to get here. And you people showed me how to live a life that I never dreamed possible. You know, I'm the only son. I have three younger sisters. None of them have this disease. I'm the only one in my family with this disease. I don't question why I have it. I accept the fact I have it. In fact, you know what? If I get up in the morning and I hit my knees, I actually am grateful that I have it, because I wouldn't have this. I wouldn't have this fellowship. I wouldn't have you people to guide me and to help me. I wouldn't have the friends that I have today if I didn't have this disease. So that's why I say that I'm grateful that I have the disease called addiction. You know, it's, I don't know, every day that goes by, I look back, when I hit my knees at night, and I look back to a tenth step, and I start to think about, you know, the things that happened during the course of the day. I have a feeling in here when I know, I don't sit down with that IP about living the program. I know God has blessed me with a conscience, and I know in that spot where God dwells inside me, that when I've done something to hurt somebody, I know it's an uneasy feeling inside here. It's that same feeling I had when I got here, that hole inside of me that no chemical could fix. No gold, no woman, no car, no jolt, nothing could fix that hole. It's only through God and you people and the steps that have been able to fix this hole inside of me. You know, I went a long time without a job. My job was hanging out and going to get what I needed to get. I got here, I got a job. I was a salesman for a long time. And imagine that. I used to sell bumper stickers for the Fraternal Order of Police over the phone. And then I got into a business where I used to go knocking doors for about 7 years. What I do for a living now, this started out as an amends to my, you know, those indirect amends that we make to our, when to do so would injure them or somebody else. See, I couldn't go back to some of the people that I had wronged and tell them what I had done to them. Or, let me give you an example. There was a guy that I used to fool around with his wife. I couldn't go to him and say, listen, you know, I apologize, you know, because I'd have got a whole lot of people in trouble. And I stole from an employer. The place is not even there anymore. They went out of business. It wasn't because of me that they went out of business. I wasn't that good of a thief. I've done a fourth and fifth step. I realized I wasn't that good of a thief. But it was one of those indirect amends, you know, where I didn't want to hurt somebody else by making this amends. So my sponsor said, well, get involved in some volunteer programs, you know, into your community. So we have a Meals on Wheels in our neighborhood, and I saw it advertised in my church bulletin. So I went up and I started talking to the lady, and she says, well, we really don't need any more drivers or a runner. She said, what we need is a cook. And I said, I don't know nothing about cooking. Hell, the only thing I knew how to cook was in a spoon. I didn't know how to cook anything. So she said, listen, she said, just come up and interview for it. So I sat down with her, and I interviewed with her, and I filled out the job application. That's a new thing for me, filling out job applications. I didn't have to do it. Didn't need a job application to run to doctors or go to penitentiary. You didn't need application to do that. So I filled this out for her. And she saw like a discrepancy from like 1980 to like 93. There was like a 13-year period where there was no employment. And she asked me about it, and I figured, what the hell? I might as well just, I'm going to be honest, I'm practicing spiritual principles and honesty, and, you know, these are the integrity, these are things that are, you know, that I'm trying to practice here. So I just told her, and she says, I appreciate your honesty. She says, we had a guy that came in before her that was in the other fellowship. And she says, I understand exactly what you're talking about. I said, but I don't have any experience cooking. She says, don't worry about it. She says, I could teach you everything you need to know about cooking. She said, I can't teach you how to have a personality. I can't teach you how to get along with people. I can't teach you how to be personable. And this is what you people have taught me. This is what God and you people have taught me. How to get along with people. How to be friendly to people. How to keep a positive attitude. These are things that have been revealed to me every day. I learn a little bit more about that. I try to do the best I can. I try to treat people the way I would want to be treated. I don't see that a lot anymore. I really don't. Especially in service. I don't see it. I've been involved in service. I've had a nationwide commitment since I had 8 months clean. I love it. I love doing it. I love going into a penitentiary, taking a speaker in. I love going into a detox, taking somebody in to speak in a detox. I think I am the type that needs to be going into a detox regularly, once a month, because, or even into the penitentiaries, because going in there, when I leave, I get such a rush. I get such a jolt. You know, when that door closes behind me, you hear that bang, and you know you're free. Or when you're in a detox and you see somebody sitting in a chair, and they get the blanket around them, and they're shivering, and the tears are running down their eyes because they're feeling so lousy. I remember feeling that way. I remember feeling that way with stuff coming out of my nose and chills and just like sick as a dog. I remember feeling that way. So when I go in, and then they thank me for coming in, and that's what's amazing. You know, they actually think we're doing something special. They don't realize what they do for us. You know, they just don't realize that. You know, what has happened over the years is that I've been blessed with the ability to be, this is my second year, I got elected as the regional H&I chair for the entire region. It blows me away that somebody that couldn't get out of East Liberty or Hazelwood or Northside has been elected to the regional HMI position, where we, once a month, all the areas come down and we meet and we talk about stuff that's going on in everybody's area. I learn more about concepts and guidelines and traditions and steps. I learn every time that we meet. I learn how to do certain things. These are the things that have been revealed to me. How to get along with people. And how to disagree without being disagreeable. How to express my opinion and not expect everybody to bow down and go along with my opinion. Sometimes I still do, but that's just the way it is. But the key for me is to abide by a group conscious decision. That once we invite God in, then I don't want to kick him right out and go on self-will. If I'm going to invite God in, then why not allow him to work on the group? And why not allow him to guide us where he wants us to be? I don't understand the things that happen. I don't think that they're meant for me to understand right now. I see a lot of stuff that's happening in our region with the board and with the region. There's a lot of insanity going on. That's why I'm so glad that I'm with where I'm at, with the H&I part of it, where I know that if I do A, B, C, D, and E, it's going to work, and I keep it as simple as I can, and I stay focused on that. A couple of years ago, I was part of the Tri-State Spiritual Retreat, and I did that for 5 years, and then I was blessed with the gift of being the chair for the retreat. And that was such an honor to be able to work with people that Ronnie was a part of our retreat, that were people that were working hard to pull off something and to allow something to happen. It was such a beautiful thing. We were all together. We were like a big family. We could talk about each other like dogs, but don't let anybody else talk about each other. Talk about us, because we was all thick as thieves. We were really strong. And our retreat is still that way. And I'm sure your retreat is that way. And I'm sure you guys are all the same way because you meet so often and you work so hard together and you pull together as a team. And that's how it works. That's why it's a we program, not an I program. See, I get loaded. We stay clean. I used to hear these cliches all the time. And I'm at a Cliches Anonymous meeting. That was my favorite one. And my sponsor would just tell me, he said, please, just keep coming back. I'm going to say something about sponsorship, and then I'm going to be... I've had two sponsors in almost 15 years clean. And my first sponsor, God bless his soul, I loved him. He was the first guy... I was the first guy that ever stuck a needle in his arm. And he became my sponsor. I was the best man at his wedding, and I was a pallbearer at his funeral. I've been blessed that one day, while I was at work one day in the kitchen, his son came to me and said he needed help, and would I sponsor him. That was my way of returning the favor and giving back to my first sponsor. That was a way of me repaying the debt that I thought I owed him. I still go to the cemetery and I talk to him. I talk to my dad. I never had the ability or the opportunity to make the amends to my father or for him to see me like this, like clean like this. My mom, God bless her, she's there. Today's her 80th birthday. And I caught a little hell over coming up here, but because they have a big party for her. 80 don't come too often, you know. But today I have a sponsor today. I've had him for over the past 12 years. And when I first asked him to be my sponsor, he said, it'd be an honor. He said, there's only one requirement. I said, what's that? He said, you get an H&I commitment. See, my sponsor is very big on service, especially hospitals and institutions. I had already had one, and that was fine. Like I said, I've had the same sponsor for 12 and a half years. And those things that only me, him, God, and the priest up the monastery know about me. I've given him everything. All the secrets of my past, where the pistols are hidden, where the skeletons are buried, I've given him everything. So I knew, and I gave the priest that too, because I knew that was the only way that I could get up, I could go to bed at night with a clear conscience, and that I could get up in the morning with a clean conscience. And I try not to create new wreckage. I try my best not to create it. It doesn't always work. You know, I just went through a situation where some things happened at a meeting. I heard about it, and some things were said to a very dear friend of mine, and I wanted to revert back to old behaviors. I wanted to get a stick and go beat people up. And I even went so far as to want to get a bamboo stick, split the ends, and start beating people with it. Or put the ski mask on and get a baseball bat and start hurting people. I had it all plotted out and planned out. And one thing it did, it showed me the anger, and that defect hasn't gone that far. And it got me calling my sponsor a little bit more often. And between him and me, him and God, it got me to the other side, got me through it without me having to act out on it. I still like to do it. I still like to do it. Because down inside, I still have that anger. I do not like when somebody is putting themselves out in a volunteer position to be of service to a fellowship that has given to us so much, and then for that person to catch abuse for doing their job, and to be totally abused in front of a lot of people, I really have issues with that. And, you know, I just what I want to do. I just want to get a bamboo stick and go around and smack some people. Tell them to wise up. But I know that that's not going to do any good. See, that has been revealed to me through the steps and through talking to my God and my sponsor. You know, I missed church this morning. I've gone back to church, and I've gone back to the church that I grew up on. Okay, I'll get ready. And they've elected me to be a greeter, and hell, I go around collecting money. I remember when I first did it. See, it's in a Catholic church, and I was going around collecting the money, and it's a neighborhood that I grew up in, and they do a second collection every so often. And I went by with the, you know, with the basket, and the guy, and I guess, and he wouldn't put it in. I said to myself, oh, God, no, he knows something about me. He remembers and don't want to put the money in the basket. And then I remembered that the second collection, and that was a different colored envelope. But that's where my head, my disease takes me sometimes. But I've been doing it for 5 or 6 years now, and people all know me in the church. There's not too many people that remember who I was or what I was, because I'm a completely different person. I still live in the same house, still live in the same neighborhood. They're slinging like they got a license to do it around the neighborhood. They don't bother me. They don't come near me. Maybe some of them remember. Maybe some of them, their parents have told them, stay away from that boy. Don't get him started again. I don't know what it is. Or maybe it's God guiding me away from all this stuff. That's what I like to think it is. It's God giving me the direction to get the hell away from these people. You know, I'm too old. I don't have the energy or the stamina or the desire to go back to that lifestyle. I really don't. I see it. I see people my age and they're still doing it. I don't know how they do it. I really don't. I got all I can do is to get up in the morning. I get up at 4:30 in the morning, 5:30 in the morning. I'm in the kitchen with meatloaf or chicken or something in the oven. We send out food to 45, 50 people that are 65 years or better. I have volunteers that come into the kitchen that have been doing it for 25 years. Volunteers have been doing it for 25 years. Hell, they've been married for 50 years. I can't understand that. I have problems getting along with me, let alone to get along with somebody else, you know? I mean, because I get up here and the group conscience starts and I'm in trouble. Unless I invite God in. See, God is my equalizer. God brings everything back into perspective for me. You know what? This is just a wonderful program, and it's given, blessed me with a gift and a life far beyond my wildest dreams. For a guy that couldn't get off 2nd Avenue in Hazel or get out of the north side or off the hill, my world has expanded so much. I mean, I have friends up here. I have friends in Altoona. When Art asked me to speak, it's a cute little story, and I'll finish up with it. He said, we usually have a young guy to speak on Moore Beaver Field. I said, oh, yeah, so that's why you're asking me, right, a young guy. He said, maybe you can let everybody know. He said, because Moore has been revealed to you all along. So I just started laughing. I told him it would be an honor. So we call him the spiritual speaker seeker. That's what they call him when he comes to the regional. He's your RD up here. And what a nice man. What a nice man. Wait till I get him, though. But like I said, it's always an honor. And I just want to thank you guys for being patient with me. Thank you very much.